people have been accused of injecting some sort of substance in their groin area, so they're allowed to get more material for their suit to go further.
What's worked for you in previous times, Rick?
He blew the body up, you see, but the whole thing looks like a road cone because you can't do anything with a peach.
Yeah, but out of all of us, who do you think would be the best ski jumper?
Probably Taylor.
Me, I've got the biggest dick out of all of you.
You're a Broncos fan. Lenny, what do you reckon about Payne Haas?
I am. I'm still in mourning, to be honest.
Is that the end of the Broncos?
Come on. It's never the end of the Broncos.
Obviously, Seattle won the Super Bowl, but Seattle had an Australian punter.
So the punter put money on it and won it. Is that what you're saying?
No, the punter, the kick the ball, not the guy that gambles.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Nathan Chapman from ProKick.
Yeah, the punting world, they are, the good guys are in the 17 mil over 4 years type deal.
Hey, Ricky, you got any blue tech, mate?
What do I need blue tech for?
Well, just one of your ears is hanging out. Just maybe you can tack it in. That left one.
We actually do have some blue tech we could see.
Rumour has it you were parading around Bondi without your shirt on, Rick.
Why would I do that?
Well, that's what I can ask the person who told me you were doing it.
What I did was I did a breathwork, yoga and ice bath.
Oh, it's getting worse, mate.
It is.
I went for a swim at Bronte and I had my shirt off then, but how am I going to go for a swim without my shirt on?
Yeah, but so you walked back from Bronte to a park without a shirt through, you know, hordes of people by the sound of it.
All I did was take my shirt off, put a bit of suntan lotion on and did my yoga.
I've got calls from people who live in Sydney saying they saw you parading around with your shirt off.
I was wearing my Speedos too.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, I was.
No,
mate.
You weren't.
You can't do that.
That's actually illegal.
Really? It's, God, it's cause to hang up.
What?
Did you make your way up the beach bipodal or just on your stomach like an elephant seal?
Welcome to the studio. Like two of us have made it.
I'm glad I didn't make it to Sydney.
Yes, you and me both, mate.
Are you still trying to get over me without my shirt on?
You don't look like the picture in the back, I can tell you that much.
No. No. Is that an AI version of yourself, Rick? So that's what you were going for. You got all tanned. You wanted to get all tanned up like the thing in the background. Lose a couple of kilos doing your yoga.
I reckon that's accurate.
You're going to get arrested.
Can we talk about sport?
Well, speaking about getting arrested, let's have a look at your picture for a second there, Marco.
No, let's not go there, mate. Let's not
mate,
go who that looks
be
like.
A photo of me up there.
There's a bloke on social media in the paper right now for the wrong reasons,
yeah.
And you look very similar to him.
And we're not going to mention his name. We won't mention his name, but he does have an island.
An island?
Right. Yeah.
Or just don't you swim up to it with your shirt off.
All right. No, I won't be going anywhere near it. Anyway, welcome to Taylor, who's going to do the intro.
You're doing very well, Rick.
Welcome to Sports Cafe.
I can't even see it from here. Shit.
I'll send you a photo. It's not flattering.
Yeah, you better.
The NRL preseason kicked off, Taylor. Did you go to the game?
No. Was I meant to?
Well, your husband's team was playing.
Yeah, and you obviously didn't watch the game because he didn't play.
I know, I watched.
Why would I go?
But it's his club team.
He went. Am I employed by them?
No, but you're supposed to support.
I support the guy, the club.
Did you watch it on TV?
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
The whole game?
Yeah.
What did you think of the game?
It was great. I think there's like heaps of promising young players in both teams. Very exciting.
Right.
The most promising of which would be?
Well, you know what was my favourite moment? When the Sharks coach son for the Bulldogs scored a try and he was the coach of the Sharks was in the stadium watching. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep going, boys. Let's go. I got all day.
Well, Connor's not with us in the studio. He's actually joined with the Indigenous All-Stars. So we're just going to cut live to him. We're not ready. I recorded this earlier, but we're going to cut live to him. So Connor, are you there, mate? What's going on?
Unfortunately, I can't be there today, but fortunately, I'm in the NRL All-Stars game, playing for the Indigenous All-Stars. So heading over to Hamilton. If you watch the Sports Cafe and you live over in Hamilton, come to the game and make sure you say hey.
Have you been to Hamilton before?
No, I actually haven't. I haven't. I've been to the Mount, Tauranga, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So I've been there, that's as far sort of that way that I've been, but I'm looking forward to it.
This game's going to be played in Hamilton. Now, Connor's never been to Hamilton. Macca, what would you sort of suggest are the highlights of Hamilton for him?
Look, it's a high risk. Mind you, this is an Aussie show now, isn't it? So I can say what I think about Hamilton. No, like it's a high risk strategy. I think there's you know, a couple of things it's certainly renowned for. But being a married man, you wouldn't be too worried about that. Nightlife, not one of them.
Have you been to Hamilton?
I have many a times, and I'm just remembering now it is the STD capital
no,
of New Zealand,
isn't it? Don't say that. That's not
that. That's what I was told when I lived there.
Oh, that's not what we were talking.
But that's what I was told.
How'd you know that, Toe?
That's awful. That's an awful thing to say.
No, I went to Hamilton every year for field days when I worked in New Zealand.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. That's actually the weekend where the most STIs are spread.
Right. Well, I believe that.
Because you're a big farm person?
Huge. Yeah, I got my red bottoms. Is that what they call them?
Well, you got your red bottoms.
We have our red. You did after a weekend down there.
We've got our red bands.
Red bands. That's
yeah. Red bands are the gumboots. But, you know, I like where you were going with it.
Yeah.
Did you clear it up with did the place clear it up?
Cambridge is beautiful. Hamilton's beautiful. Wonderful people in Hamilton. I really enjoy the people of Hamilton. And just before you go, Connor, Payne Haas, well, that's massive news.
Oh, mate, it's huge. It honestly shocked me. I thought it was a joke at first when I seen it. Just, I think for a signing like of that magnitude to happen and no one to even know a thing about it, like I think it came out an article come out the day before saying that he'd re-signed with the Broncos for an extra season. So, mate, it's huge. I mean, obviously we're rivals with South, but you got to congratulate them on pulling off a signing like that.
You're a Broncos fan. Lenny, what do you reckon about Payne Haas?
I am. I'm still in mourning, to be honest. Sort of caught everyone off guard, which is, you know, Payne over the last few weeks or few months has been saying that, you know, he wants to be a Bronco for life, like Reece Walsh. So, yeah, it's news to me. And in other news this morning, Adam Reynolds has announced his retirement at the end of the year. So there's another spanner in the works. And obviously when they won last year, is he going to have the same drive now that he's announced that he's hanging up his boots at the end of the year? Is he going to have that drive for the next, you know, 6 months?
Is that the end of the Broncos?
Come on. It's never the end of the Broncos.
I suppose if you've announced that you want to go out with a bang, you know, I mean, it does take a bit of pressure off, but at the same stage, somebody of that lineage and pedigree would want to finish on top, finish powerfully.
Yeah, I think so. And he's such a well-respected man. He wants to keep his legacy. Imagine if the Broncos go back-to-back, you know, and there's no better, you know, time and place to do it right now. They've got the list. They got the coaching staff. They got the support. You know, Brisbane's absolutely humming at the moment. Obviously won the Lions, the AFL last year. So the boys are up and about. They're going for three in a row. If we can go back-to-back at the Bronx, it's pretty bloody special.
You'd be motivated, wouldn't you? If you're Payne Haas or Adam Reynolds and this is your last season, you know, for the Broncos, you're going to give it everything.
Absolutely. I mean, there's very few, though, who can pull it off. Richie McCaw, Dan Carter in the World Cup final, no bigger stage, and Carter's final touch with the right foot conversion. I mean, that's fairy book, but that's why he's the GOAT, the pair of them, you know. So I think you aspire to it, but very few pull it off.
You've been in that position before. Did you announce your retirement straight away, or did you play on for the other 6 months?
Oh, I should have retired about 5 years before I did, really. You know, people would ask me to leave. No, I mean, I remember the last game and just, you know, not really. By that stage, it wasn't a huge game, but I remember getting a try in my last game and going, oh, that's a nice way to sign off, you know.
Nice, but yeah.
Mine was pretty low-key compared to the names you're talking about.
Well, that's what happens when you just play for the money, mate.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of us have had that opportunity, Rick. You never have.
Cash is king.
To such an extent that I've done this shit show for 2 years and you haven't paid me a cent. I even pay my own way to get over to Sydney to record it for you. You don't even reimburse my flights. So I wouldn't, mate, when you're in a glass house, don't be firing grenades.
Anyway, talking about the Winter Olympics, you've been watching the Winter, has anyone been watching the Winter Olympics?
A little bit. It's a bit late at night for me.
You know about Pinkgate?
I do.
No.
I do.
Yeah, that's the one thing I did hear about.
Yeah, well, you explain it, Lenny.
Well, I've actually I've got a few stats on here. So obviously, guys are enlarging their area down there for here's some rules. I'll go through the rules first. So extra material, athletes enlarge size of genitalia when suits are fitted. So excess material can create a sail-like effect. Suits must be no more than 4 centimetres larger than the surface area of their body. So for every 2 centimetre increase in suit size circumference, you get a 5% increase, a lift.
In
lift
the wing.
Increase, the wings, a 5% lift, which is equivalent to an extra 5.8 metres jump length.
So basically, Taylor, people have been accused of injecting some sort of substance in their groin area to make their groin area bigger so they're allowed to get more material for their suit to go further.
Taylor, you know the flying suits? Basically, yeah. they're a Batman suit, right? So if you've got a bigger surface area, you're going to glide longer. So they're basically injecting themselves so they've got more. So you've got to have restrictions, only 4 centimetres outside your surface area that you're allowed.
I mean,
yeah, but look, if we want to speak with specifics here, I mean, it's a bit of a moot point injecting the sausage, right? Because I don't think you can lengthen it. I think it's all going into the bag, isn't it? Right? Because you can blow the bag's pretty flexible. You can blow the bag up like a balloon, and that then increases the length of the of the suit.
What's worked for you in previous times, Rick?
Yeah, I don't need any help. But
well, he blew the body up, you see. But the whole thing looks like a road cone because you can't do anything with a peach.
Yeah.
Yeah. A massive body with a tiny peach, a bit like your body, a bit like what you look like on the screen right here, right now. Same.
Right. So do you understand what we're talking about?
Yeah.
And do you have any thoughts on the idea of, an athlete going to that sort of length?
Yeah, they should be like kicked off the comp immediately, right?
Why?
Isn't that illegal?
What's the rule that they've just
don't inject with anything?
Is that the rule?
What you're born with is what you've got, and that's what you should be using to compete, right?
Right. How do you reckon I'd go as a ski jumper, Macca?
There wouldn't be much jumping.
Oh, mate, I don't want to, I don't want to go there.
Why?
I don't
want to
go there.
You'd get some nice momentum down the slope.
Yeah, but out of all of us, who do you think would be the best ski jumper?
Probably Taylor.
Me, I've got the biggest dick out of all of you. Biggest blaster, so I'll put my head up for that.
Oh, can we move on, please?
Move on. It's coming.
We've started with the visual imagery of Rick and his speedos, now we've gone there. This is
great show. Abysmal.
There is editing going to be required for this show.
Yeah.
I was going. If you did the Winter Olympics, what sport do you think you'd be good at?
Ice skating.
Why? Because
I grew up dancing.
Yeah.
And I did used to ice skate a bit growing up. So that would naturally be what I would do.
Well, Lenny, what sport would you do at the Winter Olympics?
The same one Stephen Bradbury did, I reckon. I've got strong, small, short legs, a bit of a power athlete, really lean into it, a bit of luck here and there.
What is it? What sport's that?
Is it inline speed skating?
Speed skating.
Oh, right.
Speed skating,
The skeleton.
The skeleton. Here, I've got some footage. Actually, can you play the footage of the skeleton?
The luge. The luge. The single man luge.
This is just to give you some perspective of what it looks like if you are the skeleton racer.
It's pretty cool. It's like you're going down a hill on it.
Yeah.
On an oven tray.
I think this is the actual track in Cortina that they compete in.
That'd be quite good fun. Unless you cock
Jesus.
It up. What sort of speed do they get up to? They're close to 100K, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But where do you reckon the skill is?
Mate, you're hitting those corners. Driving. You're leaning. Yeah, you're leaning into it. I mean, if you did that, mate, you'd hit the top of the tunnel, I'd imagine. We all would.
What's the advantage? If you're heavier, lighter?
Oh, I'd go down fast. I'd definitely be the fastest out of the bus.
Those people you see on hydro slides who some of them go over the lip.
Get stuck.
End up in a tree.
Look, one of the things I like to do on the show is find the best of social media as opposed to Taylor's TikToks. And I found this guy, Jimmy Reese, who's an Aussie comedian, and he's done a beautiful series on why we have the Winter Olympics.
Jason, winter Eurovision sports.
What?
Let's have a white Olympics, Jason.
Oh, I see, because it's in winter.
Oh, sure. Who can be in the winter?
Wait, hang on. What do you mean by what?
With annoying people.
Pardon?
Upper management kind of people, Jason.
Sorry, sir. What are you talking about?
Rich people, Jason. The barrier to entry will be disposable income.
No, no. Well, what are the sports?
Sliding down a white hill on different apparatus, Jason.
What?
Planks with crutches, a skateboard with no wheels, ice rollerblading.
Yeah.
Ooh, snow walking with a gun.
Really? I mean...
And there's people who want to be birds. Jumping.
Birds, okay. So out of all of the things that we've ever decided and stuff, I think this is the one where you've been talking the most shit.
That is hostile from you, Jason. Scottish granite floor darts.
Me.
That's a good idea, Jason. Ice ballet, where people go, me, how did they do that?
But one of the things that's really struck me watching the Winter Olympics is how positive Australians are compared to Kiwis. Like, so you had the... Valentino, the snowboarder that just qualified late, got called in. He made the final, which everyone went nuts about. He then did pretty well. I think he finished 10th, and Australia really celebrated his effort. You know, the great effort.
Didn't even know that the Winter Olympics were on in New Zealand. I don't think we're showing it.
Yeah, it's on TV.
Saving costs.
Honestly.
We're actually good. On. Well, I reckon we'll get more medals than Australia at the Winter Olympics.
I reckon that's bullshit. I reckon we'll get more than you.
You should get five times more.
Mate, yeah. You just had three in the final. You didn't even get on the podium.
Mate, you sound like a Kiwi.
It's a big final.
Yeah, that's a big effort.
But New Zealand should do better than Australia, right? Because you guys have way better ski fields than that to training.
Right, and you can't come across to New Zealand and go skiing?
Well, suppose so. But when you're born and bred in the country, it's easier. What if you don't have money to fly over?
Well, then don't go skiing if you don't have any money.
Well, then what's the excuse for the Summer Olympics?
We are better than New Zealand.
No, well, you're better, but
way
statistically
better.
Per head of capita, you're not. I mean, you never get five times more golds than us.
That's always the excuse.
Bitch, how many medals did we win compared to you? We better.
I think you got double, but you've got five times the population.
Yeah, so there you go. There we go.
You're five times our size.
Head of capita, we're about
200%. Oh, well, have a cry. How easy is it for you to move over to Australia? Like, it's the same thing.
Right.
We do let anyone in.
I don't really understand your logic, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the Super Bowl. Did you watch the Super Bowl today? Anyone?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
So what part of the Super Bowl did you enjoy the most, Taylor?
Bad Bunny, Ovs.
It was shit.
You think it was shit?
Mate, I couldn't understand a word.
Yeah, well, sorry, should he translate all his songs to English just so Chris Lynn in Australia can understand the halftime show?
Well, what are the people in the crowd from America? They couldn't understand it either.
Yeah, but like I couldn't understand what he was saying and I still got amongst. I was dancing in my lounge room. It was amazing.
Yeah, because you got nothing else to do.
Oh, so you don't think raising children is a big job?
That's not the question.
Some of us were at work.
You don't have a job.
What do you mean I don't have a job?
You haven't had a job for like 20 years. You got an office.
The fact that I don't work as hard as you, Rick, doesn't mean I don't work. It's just, you know, I don't kick down every door. I choose the door.
Yeah, once a year.
And if you put your face in the door, I'll definitely boot that one.
Look, obviously Seattle won the Super Bowl. You know, forget about Bad Bunny. Wasn't the most exciting game of the world. But Seattle had an Australian punter. And show a bit more enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, no, I did see him kick that.
He graduated from Pro Creek Oz, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it's just Australia's got a good track record in finding these sort of AFL punters and sending them. The guy came from the Shire, from Cronulla, the punter.
Get out.
Yeah.
What part of the Shire?
I don't know his street address, but...
Just a suburb would do.
Cronulla?
Actuals?
No, I just made it up.
Oh, okay. So the punter put money on it and won it. Is that what you're saying?
No, the punter that kicked the ball, not the guy that gambles.
Oh, my God.
We had a guy in New Zealand who was a renowned punter, mate. You know? I missed it. Sorry, I don't pay much attention.
That is the dumbest question anyone's ever asked on the show. And that's saying something.
You're boring me. I'm not listening. I just heard you say punter. I thought, what the f*** is this guy actually putting some big money on it? We're talking about it. Okay.
But look, we've got someone that might know. Someone, Nathan Chapman from ProKick.
Nathan, how are we doing? Eddie, how are you
going? So just first of all, can you explain the difference between someone that puts a bet on and someone that kicks a ball to mark?
I've been on the show for 20 years, and there are times when you zone out. Those times are usually when Rick's speaking, and he was rambling on about Hunter, and I just picked it up late. So, you know, move on to the next question, Rick.
Tell us a bit about the Seattle punter.
Yeah, Michael Dixon. Shit, what a great game. I mean, yeah, a young fella came down for a kick out of Sydney, and look, we just knew he could kick. So once we got a bit of training under him and then sent him off to Texas, he handled crowds of 105,000 people every week pretty well and got himself drafted. And then, 10 years later, he's enjoying a can of lemonade and maybe a cigar at the moment.
How far do they punt? I mean, and give me a comparison with not a league ball, a rugby union ball, or an AFL ball. I mean, if they kick an AFL ball 60, what does that equate to in an American football?
It's done in yardage, and you actually start at minus 15, right? So, but in essence, Dicko probably has the ability to kick it 85 metres, which is,
that's
93 yards. So pretty big. Yeah, it's huge. Unbelievable strength when they get onto it.
How does that fly by comparison to a rugby union ball or a AFL ball? I mean, obviously it's got a bit more distance in it if you're booting 85 metres.
Look, I guess it's aerodynamic pretty good. So if you get onto it, it's going to sail a little bit longer. And there's certain ways and certain times when you've got to kick it high versus kick it long. Sometimes you've got to do the Aussie rules, drop punt, kicking a cross field. But, a different shape. The difference with the NFL ball is, it's about the same size lengthwise as a league ball, union ball, or an AFL ball, but the sweet spot, because it's so pointy, the sweet spot in the middle is about, an inch long. So if you get either side of it, the back or the front tips up off its axis, right, and then doesn't go anywhere. So you can get some pretty big kicks who can kick it 80, but if they get it wrong, shit, they'll kick it 25 easily.
Right. Do they spiral it or do they end over end?
Generally, when you're sort of way back up and you've got a long distance to get away from the end zone, well, you're going to spiral as far as you can. Closer in, you've got more control with the end over end, but and probably almost with the control when it's windy, it's also easier to use the end over end.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of obviously Aussie rules guys who do the punting a lot, but we do get a lot of league guys who come across and can punt, but also do the place kicking and field goal kicking. So there's still good crossover.
Is there anyone that you've earmarked in NRL or AFL? Obviously, Matt Burton gets talked about in the State of Origin.
Yeah, Burton gets brought up a lot. There's a lot of strength and power there. It's, you know what? It's like there's plenty of good athletes, who can kick, run, hit, got speed and all that. Doing it at that top level and learning the skill required, again, just still takes time. And I think you can do just as good a job with a smaller kick if you can control it, and that's probably the skill set of someone, whether you can get the placement and that right. So strength is great, gets you out of a lot of trouble, but you still have to be really good at it.
I was just going to say, what do you look for when you're obviously scouting in Australia? I saw you checking me out when I was down the park kicking the ball around. What do you look for in a kicker?
We've done this for 20 years. We know what coaches want. And then we try and replicate. We're sort of almost trying to give them a visual look or representation about what they like. Do they like tall guys? Do they like shorter guys? Do they want guys who can move the pocket and get on the run and kick it? Or do they like just a really tall guy with long levers and they can hit a big spiral? So we do our assessments. We try and, at the college level, any of our assessments. So if you came down, Rick, and had a kick, we'd say, can you deliver from a power point of view a college ball right now, which is a 45-yard kick with 4.5 seconds of hang time. Now, it's a really good kick. It's a really good kick in college, but we ask it on your first day, and if you can deliver that, well, we sort of say, hey, this is what we need to get to the level. You're at the level now. Now we need 12 months of training to make you consistent, build on your strength, build on your technical side.
Are there any guys who do both the punt return and the goal kicking? Because like Dan Carter, for example, could kick a rugby ball 70 metres and then he's kicking it 90%, goal kicks. And they're from the corners, not just in front.
In the kicking space, at the top level, they will pay you a lot of money to do your role, and that's it. And you're going to be the elite guy at it. You do have some punters who kick off, and they try and protect the field goal kicker's leg so they don't wear it out, and they'll often get the punter to kick off. It's just such a – there's so many different dynamics. To punt well, no point practicing a different style to do kickoff. Then you get caught in between two different mechanics and you might get it wrong. So they say, you just be very good at what you do. We'll pay someone else $5 million to be very good at what they do. And that seems to work for them.
Wow.
Hold on. $5 million?
Yeah, the punting world, they are the good guys are in the 17 mil over 4 years type deal. Yeah.
You're from an AFL background, aren't you? So you played AFL.
You're a Lions man.
To the Brisbane Bears that turned into the Lions. Yep, that's it. And then went and had 3 shit years at Hawthorne after that, and then had to retire. Well, I call it retire, but actually got let go. Yeah.
You know, you obviously didn't have the opportunity to go and play in the NFL as a kicker, but you've how many have you sent from Pro Kick? How many have you sent into the NFL?
I did spend a little bit of time at the Green Bay Packers. So when I finished the Aussie rules, I thought, well, what am I going to do? I'm 25. I've played professionally for 8 years. It's going to get boring. I didn't want to work a job, and being in the sport was going to be great. I knew I could kick a football, and then I chased that dream. So spent 8 months at the Green Bay Packers, came back home, didn't win the job. Went back the next year, had a couple of kicks with Chicago and Cincinnati, didn't get a job, had a young family, ran out of money, came home and said, well, shit, I actually felt really connected to the sport, met lots of people and sort of thought, well, hey, there's lots of guys who can kick in Australia. What if I train them? So, you know, we're going back 2003, 2004. So created some business cards. I called myself the boss and the coach and got to work. And then, yeah, that was 18 years ago. We sent 450 guys through college. We've probably saved maybe $140 million worth of academic fees in scholarships for kids to get degrees and put a dozen guys into the NFL.
How good's that?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was on your website and it said, you know, your number one job is to educate them. Do you think that mentorship is, you know, outweighs the skill set part of it?
Yeah, Chris, I think that they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, in our sign information packet says, we're going to train you really hard. We're going to treat you like you're there. College football is demanding. It's a professional sport. We get kids off the street who are just good country footballers who then go into their first game of American football in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
You're then bound by a professional mindset, your social media, your performance, the way you get graded. So we've got to upskill these young men really, really quickly. So we have to we have to test them out to find out where their mettle is and how they go. Yeah, I want to become a Green Beret or I want to get in the SAS. Cool. Well, they don't pat you on the back when they're dunking your head under the water and sort of saying, here, go, go, go. They don't then go, well done, son, you had a really good day. No, they actually get you to perform and sort of knock that, get that noise out of your head. So it's a long journey.
You know, when I was finishing up playing, there was some stat out of the States that 75% of players were either divorced or bankrupt within 5 years of finishing their career.
Yeah, they get thrown into, and look, it's happening at the college level now where, 2 years ago, the college level was you could get a scholarship and you go there and you're there for 4 years. Now they've got a transfer window. So every year you are basically a free agent. If you want to go to a new school, you can. And along with that also comes money. So kids have been bought and they're going from team to team. And now there's all this expectation of I'm going to go to college and I'm now going to make money. And they've never been around it. And there's some kids in America, the high school quarterbacks, they're getting offered $5 million a year to come out of high school to play college ball.
Yeah, wow.
And so, yeah, a lot of guidance in that. And there's a lot of people who look after their family. And with wealth, sometimes the family and friends come calling and they've got to feel like that they've got to look after them. And there's a new level. Everyone's got an agent now at high school.
You know, that's incredible. You got that many Australians to get a college degree, which is a great effort, considering the people I work with. Taylor, you obviously, those dollar signs seem to really excite you. So you'll be having a word to Marcelo when you get home?
No, I think that's crazy. Like, that's unreal that they're actually getting paid from high school into college too, because the sacrifices they would make to get to that next level too, why shouldn't they be paid? Yeah, I think it's great.
I actually see that as a really good point. They are the entertainers. And for years, the schools would make money off them, and the kids weren't allowed to make any money, yet they're the entertainers. So I like it, but in the States, actually, it's the Wild West at the moment. There's no rules regulating it, so people are getting poached, and it's sort of chaotic. So there's a bit more to it, but good on them.
Can we not go there? Because I don't pay Mark, and he feels that he's the entertainer. So if we can just change the subject. Appreciate your time, mate. All the best, and congratulations on the Super Bowl win.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
When people retire at the age of 65, it has the same effect on them as finding out they've got a terminal illness, right? So if you're letting a guy come out of university or out of sport when they've been earmarked or grabbed at the age of 15 and they become on the scrap heap at 25, they've got none of the social skills or the life skills of a 65-year-old to learn how to get through it. So you can understand how those stats in terms of, you know, blowing the money or divorce or all of those negative things occur. And you don't have time to, I mean, college ball, sure, but in professional cricket, professional rugby, professional league, you don't really have time to get that university degree like you had back in the day when it was amateur. So you've got 40 years of your life working. You've probably, if you're lucky, got, you know, 5-10 at the longest years of sport. So it's not as easy as saying they get paid an awful lot. They're forgiving and forgoing a huge amount. You know, when you finish your career and the best thing you get offered is a job as a sales rep, that's a bit of a fucking nightmare.
Read the room, work out who you're talking to.
I'll get my fucking super out by the time you finish.
What, is that what you call it?
Yeah, I reckon as a result of that pep talk, Linny's going to play till he's 65 and Marcelo's never going to stop.
Well, as long as he doesn't look like you at 65.
The thing is, they can't play the victim card. They've got all this money, which is, mate, if you make 100 grand a year, you're richer than 95% of the world. So these guys get $5 million. I've got no qualms with them if they do the wrong thing. They had the opportunity, which most people didn't.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. $5 million's a bit different than a couple hundred grand, though, isn't it?
But still, you'd rather have it in your pocket than not. So if they piss up the wall, I've got no sympathy for them.
It'd be hard to piss $5 million up the wall, Rick.
Well, you'd have a good go, though, wouldn't you?
Well, you have.
Anyway, World Cup cricket. New Zealand started out of the blocks.
Mate, I'm actually watching Italy play Scotland at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. I'm...
Your mob, Scotland are about 100 for none after 12 overs. So the Italians are getting a touch up. The Italians' captain just went down with he just popped his shoulder out. So there goes their tournament.
There's a lot of that happening in cricket lately, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I've had a couple of them from diving.
Really?
When did you ever dive?
Mate, I've had two shoulder recons and I played a game at Eden Park and I tucked this one in and put that my good side out and then I popped the other one out. So that was the last time I dived, maybe 6-7 years ago.
I've got to get a shoulder done in May. How do they go?
Well, it depends what you get done. Obviously, you don't need to be over your head too much anymore so they can – it's a shit recovery because you've got to be on a recliner. You can't move too much. You've got to lay on your back, a little bit upright. It's just niggly when you cough or do whatever, that movement, you're in for a painful probably 2 months, yeah.
Oh, good. Have it done, Mecca. Go for it. Now,
hey, Ricky, you got any blue tech, mate?
What do I need blue tech for?
Well, just one of your ears is hanging out. Just maybe you can tack it in, that left one.
For our invoices.
Yeah. Or just get a staple or a nail.
I've been going through social media this week to find the best cricket bowler, and I wanted to get you, the three of you, to put scores alongside.
We actually do have some blue tech.
There's nothing wrong with my ears.
Yeah, can you do it, please? Just check that bloody lug.
Oh, yeah, this is good stuff too. Industrial proof.
And if that doesn't work, so let's have a look. Or just whack a nail through it.
Right. Done. I want you to give each of these cricket bowlers a score out of 10. So here's the first one. It's Jordan Binns from Queensland.
Yeah.
It looks all right.
It's a good backyard cricket setup too, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, mate, I'll give him an 8. I'll give him a solid 8 for backyard cricket. That's good.
Yep, I like that setup. The skill was there. He beat both sides of the bat, in and out swing. As I said, the batter, I'm not so sure how many cans he's had, but didn't look like he was getting bat on ball anytime soon. I'm up there with an 8.
And Taylor?
Well, I actually want to ask a question. Chris, I don't know if this is going to sound stupid or not, but when you're bowling, are you trying to aim for the bat or the person?
Well, it depends. So if it's a really good batter, sometimes you try and hurt him. If he's a really good bowler, you try and hit him on the hand so then he can't bowl fast at you. Or if he's a spinner, you try and break a finger so he can't spin the ball at you.
Good batters,
you try and get them out, though, because less time they spend at the crease, then obviously the less danger that they are to you. But look, some pitches, like the World Cup over in India at the moment, the ball won't really bounce above waist height, but the balls spin lots. So if a opposition spinner is batting, they'll be trying to take his hand off.
Oh my God! Cricket's vicious.
Yeah, well, let's have a look at this. The next bowler entry. This is a unusual pitch.
I've seen this. This is great, though.
This is Hamilton, isn't it?
So that's a, you know, we're really not focused there on the bowling, but the energy.
I'd love to know the backstory.
Yeah, there's more to that story, no doubt about it, because you go straight on the front foot. He's about 3 foot tall, so he's not going to bounce you too much, not going to worry you. And if he got too lippy, you'd just hoof him off that cliff.
Yeah, give me a score out of 10.
No, good catch though. So right armor coming around the wicket, bit of a slingy action, don't mind it. Looks like he's got good pace, but more of that catch, the caught and bowled. 8.5.
Taylor?
Yeah, very impressive. Solid 8.
Taylor, is that how angry you get with the kids?
Yeah.
Or Marcelo?
I thought it was me, actually. I was like, Jesus, I see a resemblance there.
Was that you watching Super Bowl?
Yeah. Literally, yep.
Mecca, score out of 10.
Mate, because I'm not in the studio, so I'm trying to watch this on my phone, which is smashed because I dropped it out of my pocket and the guy drove over in the car. I couldn't see it. So I suspect it was solid, but I'll give it a 6. I mean, if we were in a studio, right, like we should be for this show, I'd be able to – hold on. Can I turn it long ways to check that out? Nah. Okay. No. I need a magnifying glass on this
one. When did you break your phone? When did that happen? Wasn't that a thing that happened last year?
Yeah, just get a new phone, mate.
Yeah.
Some of us are busy at work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and now the last one. Like he's just – like what discipline?
Yeah, he wins for me.
Yeah, that's surely a 10.
Hey, do you think someone like this, you know, like I don't know who he is and what level of cricket he plays, but surely someone must be watching this and going, how do I sign this kid up?
Literally.
Well, you know what? It actually happens more often than not in the IPL. So we get net bowlers in. So when I was playing for Kolkata and Mumbai, we'd have 50 net bowlers. And then Varun Chakravarti, who's the number one spinner for India at the moment, he got picked up by just bowling in the nets to us because the batters would go, fuck, he's good, this lad. And then he gets picked up. Another guy, I can't even think who it was. He was just bowling at his shoe. Or Bumrah, for example. Just instead of that, well, got your stump there, but he takes his shoe off and just tries to hit his shoe at the other end. Malinga was doing that at training, hitting his Yorkers. They get picked up through tape ball cricket, which is a cheaper version of cricket because you don't have to wear pads and it's a lighter ball. And the skill set there is just unbelievable. But obviously, when you get up and it's a hard leather ball, one skill is actually not being scared of the ball. So a lot of guys, you know, go to waste there. But you'd be surprised how many kids actually get picked up just by throwing in videos or running in net bowling.
Mate, that's a 10 out of 10, that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, but there is thousands of kids like that in India.
How old was the kid? How old was he?
I don't know.
Once again, I can't really see it.
He'd be 16, 17.
Right, fair enough. Well, then I can't give it a 10 because I agree with you. There's heaps of kids like that in every park in India. not necessarily that good, but that's an edited version of what was going down. It might have been a few shots to get it.
Mm.
But you do see it in every park over there, just an amazing bit of talent. And the thing that have you played Kabaddi?
Kabaddi, yeah, the wrestling game.
Yeah, yeah, we gave that a nudge thinking, and they're not big fellas. And the skill and the strength and the speed, they're astronomic athletes. So maybe a six.
I didn't see it. I can't tell what it was, but I'm going to give it a six. Actually, just to wrap up, we talked about the Winter Olympics before. People here don't realise, Macca, that you were in the New Zealand curling champs.
We beat the New Zealand champions, and as a net result of that, we decided to enter.
How did we get on?
Not including you, being Ben and I, had one end where we actually performed pretty damn well, and then we got to the real competition, and they may have sort of scuttled us, really. They may have given us the old false hope. So we joined, and then we got absolutely annihilated when it came to real competition.
So you've been watching?
Have you got that footage?
No, I was just making conversation.
Well, it's not much conversation if you don't have the footage.
Right. Lenny, when are you due down in Sydney?
I've actually got fucking hell, here we go.
Do you just wait till I say to someone else, hey Lenny, before you talk?
So
I've got Live Golf this week, so I'll head down to Adelaide. I've been down the last couple of years. Our man Fisher's playing on the Sunday night, so it's gonna be a good show. The Ripper Golf debutant Elvis Smiley won his first tournament over in Saudi during the week, which is pretty cool. So heading down to Sydney, not too sure, but I think it needs to be the same day as Mark, I believe. Otherwise, we're going to have this debacle once again.
Yeah. Let's try and get you all in one place.
is your copper playing? Fisher playing in Sydney the weekend of the 20th?
Adelaide.
Oh, fair enough.
You know what? I always struggle to end this show, so I think we should just leave on the words of the great philosopher, Chirma, bro.
You know what I love most about sport, bro? It brings people together, you know? It's got a power there. Even if you're supporting opposite teams or fighters or whatever, you know, there's a bond, bro. When you're passionate about a sport and someone else is, you're linked. Exciting conversations you can have. Heated debates. Bro, I remember booming Tua Cameron, fight of the century. Shit, that fight divided the nation, bro. Now, I was going for Tua at the time. And the funny thing is, you know, it's not just fan versus fan. It gets so blooming hardcore, it ends up being fan versus fighter. Fan versus team. Like, Shane Cameron doesn't know who I am. But at the time, I was like, I hate that guy. As if I could do any better. And then years down the track, I watch videos and stuff like that on who Shane is. What a man. What a man, bro. But that's the journey that sports takes you on, you know? The highs and the lows. I think that's what we need right now, eh, bro? Something to bring us all back together. Anything that keeps us closer. Sports, bro. They'll do it.